सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। रिपीट आफ्टर मी। वर अकृत प्राप्ति स्नानम् वराकृत प्राप्ति स्नानम् स्नानम् और अभिषेकम्। सो द यूजुअल मेथड इज दैट देयर इज पंचामृत Panchamrita has milk, yogurt, ghee, honey and sugar, five of them. The reason that in larger institutions like temples, a regular participation of this abhisheka is a mandatory process is because most of these statues, most of these idols that are installed, they are either made of granite or the white stone, marble, or panchaloha, or different kinds of metals, or crystals. And when you are installing them, the idea is that the community or the society benefits out of such temples for a large extended period of time. So you want that particular idol that is installed for hundreds of years to continue with its prabhava, with its impact. So by performing this constant abhisheka, the external surface of all these elements remains intact, that it does not chip, break or crack. Therefore, this is like a mandatory process wherein they perform abhisheka on a very practical use. Pancha Amrita also means that five essential divine things. Now, who takes shower every day with milk, yogurt and such things? Do you? But, have you ever gone to a spa? I have never been to one, so I have only heard of it. So can you tell me what are the different kinds of spa? Mud bath. Then there is some essential oil, herbal oils, essential oils. So there is a massaging and there is various kinds that happen. People go all the way from here to Kerala to get it done. So you do it as a special thing, and God that you have invited and invoked in that pratima, in that murti, is a special one, and therefore you offer special abhisheka of milk, yogurt. And do not consider, because many temples when I go to talk, one of the things that they want me to talk, they want to shoot a cannon across my shoulder is to convey to the board or to the committee or to the crowd that how doing this abhisheka is a waste of natural resources. Milk, yogurt, instead of being used for Abhisheka, you can donate it. Why should it be either or? You can do this as well as donate also. Not in lieu of this, that you know, you take this and donate on the other hand. Anyway, coming to the mantra here. So what is the actual essence of the Abhisheka? Vara Akrita Prapti. Vara, grace. Grace of that Lord, is it something that, you know, many times when I go to the universities where there are lots of people who are not necessarily from a Hindu background, they ask, how does grace work in Hinduism? Like, you know, does the Lord's grace need a pre-qualification? Many times you go into the church or any other institution, you just confess and you are pardoned. And that is the grace of our Lord. That is what they say. What about your Lord? Now, that's a very a difficult proposition to challenge and fight against. So the explanation that I usually give is that the grace of the Lord is like the electricity that is always there. But if you want to invoke that grace, a little bit of effort on your side is necessary. If you want that electricity to be invoked through this light fixture. They've been telling me for about 3 days now that the upper chamber becomes toasty. Today, the room is very good. As I walked out, that area is so toasty that I felt instead of coming down, I should sit there and talk. Because all this heat is going right up there. So you want to invoke heat through that equipment. There's a little effort put. You have to connect it, you have to turn it on, you have to at least put it on a timer, whatever is required to invoke that electricity's grace to seamlessly flow through. That electricity which is always there. Similarly, God's grace is always there. But we have to invoke that to express seamlessly. Vara Akrita Praptihi. Now for the one who has seen the beauty, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, the Sundaratva in the earlier mantra, for them to see that grace of the Lord in and through every experience that they interact, that there is not a single experience that we go through which is an unnecessary accident. And this is not a fatalistic view or a pessimistic view wherein, you know, jo hoga hoga. Whatever has to happen, for my prarabdha, my fate. No, it is not a fatalistic view. It is a complete acceptance without any resistance of where we are planted and where we are supposed to flower. That complete sense of acceptance unleashes the grace to flow through us to the world around us. If you had received Gurudev's letters, there's one statement that he often used to mention in many letters. He would say that, may the Lord's grace flow through you unto the world around you, as grace, compassion, love and servitude. He would constantly mention that aspect. Then many open yourself up and let that grace flow through. And that can happen only when we have, without resistance, completely accepted. Now, acceptance, we look at it in a very different note. We look at it with the aspect or with the attitude that it is somebody who has, you know, a pessimistic attitude they tend to accept. I would say that even to bring in a change, you start from understanding and accepting what is. And once you have accepted what is, then you start working on how to make a change. That complete acceptance, 100% acceptance, unleashes this energy. Otherwise, what happens? Externally, we accept. Internally, we keep reacting. It is like the pressure cooker. Have you used a pressure cooker? Externally, it looks like it is on meditation. The white heat of meditation. But internally, it is building up. Externally, it is shanta chitta. Internally, it is like jwalamukhi. You know, one moment the pressure builds up and psh, everything goes. We are also like that. Externally, we keep accepting and accepting, and that's what we call, the word that we use is tolerating. It's not even accepting, we only tolerate. We keep tolerating and tolerating and tolerating, and one day it just blows out. And when it blows out, everything goes shattering into pieces. Externally and internally, to accept life, that it is my life that is happening, and it every incident that is happening or I am going through, I have been an active ingredient in triggering this particular moment to happen this way. Complete ownership of the responsibility. What has already been done cannot be undone. But the way you accept, act, react or respond, instead of responding, most of us react. Now, in order to respond, we need to first accept that this is my life and I am responsible for this moment as it is going through. That complete acceptance is called Vara Akrita Praptihi. And once that acceptance comes in, has anybody in this world made a lock without a key? So what would a market be? That if there is only locks made and there is no key made. If there is a problem in this nature, the solution is right next to it. Multiple times nature proves it to us. When you go into the steep altitudes, you feel sudden short of breath. This happened near Amarnath. Walking, there are many of us who are feeling short of breath. This is a very steep hike. So the little kid who was manning all the horses or the mules, so he ran up, it's already steep, and further into the unpaved path he ran and brought some herbs. And I said, you know, crush and start smelling it. And as we start smelling it, it just eased out our lungs. Then we started breathing easy again. If the problem is in that altitude, the solution is also in that altitude. The solution is right next to it. But we get blinded because we have that resistance. And that resistance can come out in various kinds of issues. Accept it, and there is an ability to respond. Responsibility. Responsibility. Instead of reactability. We have been given responsibilities, not reactabilities. But what we do is reactabilities. So that solution and the capacity to view that solution, to observe it, note it, and to be able to grasp and use it. And that is when life seems to become seamless, as if it was, you know, such beautifully planned, aligned. Now you put your foot in, there is somebody already taking care of it. And in toughest of the toughest situations, you will see that, you know, it such beautifully unfolds itself. But then you will have to put your effort as well. Instead of reacting, it should be in responding to that situation. Vara akrata praptihi snanam. After snana, what do we do? Clean up, and then we start decoration. And decoration, there are lots of kinds of decoration. Those who have curly hair make it straightened. Those who have straight hair, they want to curl. Whatever is not is to be. That is how it works. So we start spending a lot of time in that decoration. So I tell the kids, when I have to explain puja vidhi, I tell them that Lord always likes his decoration in the most organic manner. You know, chandana, kumkuma, haldi, akshata, all these are his decoration, and they're the most organic way of handling it. Natural way of handling. So what is the actual decoration of the Lord? So that is said in the next mantra.
Sarvatmakatvam
Drishya Vilayaha Gandhaha Sarvatmakatvam Drishya Vilayaha Gandhaha Gandhaha is the chandana that is offered. Now what is the chandana offered here? Is the preparedness of that seeker to drop all fragmentations. Drishya Vilayaha. What does Drishya Vilayaha mean? Everything that we see interact. The scriptures say that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. What is the second sentence? Jivo Brahmaiva Na Aparaha. Na Aparaha. Na Aparaha. Brahma Satyam. Brahman is the truth. Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, and this world is Mithya, an illusion. And this is where many intellectual, scientific thinkers, they say, what is this Hinduism? So confusing. I can touch, I can feel, I can taste, I can smell, I know this world exists, how can this be unreal? And we teach to our Balvihar kids in the very first sloka, Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptam Yena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Akhanda Mandalakaram. Khanda, fragmented. Akhanda, unfragmented. Akhanda Mandalakaram, homogeneous mass of consciousness. There is no disparity or various kinds of, there is oneness, there is completely one, akhanda mandalakara. Where is it? Vyaptam yena chara acharam, that which is permeating, that which is ever existing in both the mobile and the immobile, meaning desktop as well as your tablets, mobile and immobile. No, mobile that which has sentiency, immobile that which is insentient. Now that Bhagavan, who is all pervading, when Bhishma starts giving his 1000 names, it's popularly known as Vishnu Sahasranama. Vishnu means Sarva Vyapakatvat Vishnu, that which is all pervading. So when you start Vishnu Sahasranama, what is the first name that you expect them to start with? Vishnu, right? What do they start with? They don't start with Vishnu. They start with Vishwam. Vishwam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. It starts with Vishwam. What does that mean? On one side, the scriptures keep telling that this prapancha, this world is mithya. On the other side, they say that this Vishwam is nothing but the expression of that Paramatma. Stop confusing us. Tell us one thing for sure. What exactly is it? It is for us to contemplate and evolve. They are giving us the right direction. And what is the right direction? That which we perceive today as Vishwam or this prapancha, a jagat, that is illusion. Now what does illusion technically mean? That which exists not to perceive it. So I ask a very tricky question. Do you see horns on my head? Those who want to pull a fast one at me, especially the Balviar kids and the senior kids. Yes, then exactly. That is called illusion. That which exists not, that you perceive, it doesn't exist, but you perceive it. That which exists, but you perceive not. That which is, but we are not able to perceive it. These two aspects are called illusory. Illusion, Maya. Yama, Sa, Maya. And these are the two ways of interpreting Yama. That which exists, but cannot be, is not perceived, and that which exists not but is perceived. So with regards to Jagat, what is happening? How do we see this Jagat? Both Chara and Achara, both the sentient and the insentient, how do we perceive? As fragmented, individualistic, different objects. Because I am identified with this body, mind and intellect, I perceive myself as an individual. Therefore, when I look at the world around, how do I perceive it as? Yathabhavam. Yathabhavam tadbhavati. Yathadrishtihi tatha srishtihi. So where am I embedded? I am embedded in this body. Therefore, I perceive this entire world as nothing but another body. So I do not perceive that Paramatma which exists. But what do I perceive? The Khanda Bhava. Khanda Bhava, as this is one body, this is another body, another body, another body, that thing, this thing. That is what is Jagat for us. That which is perceived as something other than Paramatma, that otherness is mithya. Get this concept It's a very subtle concept. Did I get across? What is mithya? Because I know, I personally struggled with the Jagan Mithyatva. It used to bother me quite a bit while I was in the ashram. Hey, how can this be real? I mean, unreal. It cannot be. What aspect of it is being called unreal? To consider, to perceive, to have the conviction that every bit, every ounce of this world as something other than that Paramatma. So even in the Srishti Vichara, what do they say? Sa ye kaha bahu siyam praja ye yeti satapotapyata satapastatva idagam sarvam asrajata. That the Paramatma himself in the form of Hiranyagarbha expresses into this world. If Paramatma himself is expressing into this world, how can this world become unreal? Has this question crossed your mind? On one side you say the creation, creator created this creation, and then the creation is an expression of that Paramatma. Other side you say that the creation is mithya. Hello, decide first. Did he create? Did he express as this creation? If he has, and if that which has been created is mithya, then that who is creating is also mithya. Again, to prove that, another mantra is Purnamadaha Purnamidam. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. From infinite, only infinite can express. But what do we see as this prapancha? Finitude. That perception of finitude as jagat is called mithya. And that's a very beautiful, in the Puranic stories, we have a very beautiful expression. And the expression is, the one who refuses to see that infinite is Hiranyakashipu. The one who perceives nothing but infinite is Prahlada. That he himself is Ahlada. Ahlada, enjoying, basking in that joyful bliss. But wherever he is, Prakarshena Ahlada Yati, he provides that ananda for everybody that he comes across. Personally, how did his life go? How old was he? 5 to 7 years old. Balakaha. Now, Balakaha is 5 to 8. Anywhere between that range. And 5 to 8 year old, his own father subjects him to the cruelty of every possible method of killing someone. Can you imagine the traumatic experience? That the one who has to protect you, the one that you trust will protect you, is the one who is attempting every method of killing you. In spite of that, what was he? On one side, he was subjected to all kinds of torture. He took it all, but what did he give back? Prakarshena ahladayati. And what was the thing that motivated him to be that way? That inspiration? Because his perception was not finitude. In every aspect of it, he saw nothing but Paramatma. In Potana's Bhagavata, which is in Telugu, he says it very beautifully. He says, Indu galadu andu ledani. Meaning, in every single particle of expression, there is nothing but Paramatma. Kan kan me base Ram. And that was his perception. So what is mithya? Whenever we start perceiving finitude, that finitude perception is called mithya. Otherwise, the entire world is nothing but an expression and expansion of that Paramatma in multiple ways. Are you getting the picture? What do you see now?
Fist.
It is me expressing through the hand and now expressing as a fist. Now what do you see?
Opened
fist or hand? Now? You start seeing differences, but when I look at it from my perspective, though I am expressing into these various differences, there is a thumb, there is a pinky, there is a, what do you call this? Ring finger, there is a middle finger, there is a index finger. For me, it is easier to say it in Sanskrit. Angushtabhyam namaha, tarjanibhyam namaha, madhyamabhyam namaha. So you see the differences, but from my perspective, there is no differences. It is me alone expressing through various multitude. Now if you are a Hindu, then in our tradition, you know, somebody gives something, and they do it with left hand. See? The other hand. Receiving and giving with right hand. And we have been given lots of reasons as to why. Left hand is not pavitra. I used to resist that idea. How? What do you mean it is not pavitra? As much as I am in my right hand, I am in my left hand as well. We used to have lots of arguments, especially with my grandparents. And they would insist that I should do it with right. I said, why? I said, your left hand is not pure. I used to feel insulted. My left hand is equally pure. How can you say that it is not pure? I use it for all wrong, impure things. And only later that I recognized. Right hand coordinates with left hemisphere of the brain. And left hemisphere of the brain is processing oriented, reasoning oriented. So when you give and take, a processing, reasoning aspect of the brain is activated rather than an emotional aspect of it which coordinates to the left. Our ancestors have done an amazing research. Even if we don't understand just by practicing it, probably we would be safe than the neo-intellectualism wherein we are neither here nor there. They say that, you know, the left and right, they're equally pure. It is the same me who is expanding through. Both chara and achara is that conscious principle alone expanding. Therefore, here it says, drishya vilayaha. All the fragmentations that has been observed has been dropped. Meaning, what do I see? Sarvatmakatvam. Oneness with everything that I interact with. Conceptually. Have you ever felt alienated in... It's a very strange feeling. So though I am staying in America and I am interacting with all that, there is never an opportunity to see any other ethnicity or any other color. It's constantly interacting with Indians and Hindus, so you don't come across. Once I was flying through LA, I think, and I had to take a Cathay Pacific. And I was very tired. My flight was about 4-5 hours. So I slept in the airport in that chair itself. And as the flight timing was, they started announcing, and it woke me up. I opened my eyes, and everywhere around me, there were only Chinese. And I felt like I'm so different, alienated, that I felt as if I was in a different land, a different place, different kind of environment. It's a very temporary, but when I observed it closely, it was a very peculiar feeling of alienation. Sea of people all around. And all that you can see is totally different. When we are in India, we see nothing but differences. The major difference is all Madrasis, all Punjabis. And for people from north, anybody from south is a Madrasi. And from people from south, all people from north are Punjabis. And they even have special names for each other. The South Indian calls the North Indians as the chapati batch or the roti batch. And the South Indians are called the sambar batch. So much deep-rooted this is that they come to US and they want to unite as Hindus. They want to construct a unified platform of temple worship and things. When it comes to consecration of deities, big fight. You were also mentioning, right? They all decided to have Ganesha and the Ganesha came in granite, therefore he is South Indian. Well, if the same Ganesha was in marble, then it is North Indian. So much, just South and North. Do you think entire South is unified? Do you think entire North is unified? No. We dwell into the fragmentations. Mind relishes it. So within the South you have Kannada, then Tamil, then Telugu, Malayalam. Do you think all these languages are unified? You know, right? Within Andhra there is now rest of Andhra and Telangana. Do you think all Kannada people are unified? South Kannada, North Kannada, Coastal Kannada. Am I creating it or these differences are there? Uh-huh. They are pseudo Kannadiga, so you should ask.
I am a North Kannadiga, North Kannada.
North Kannada. See? Gujarati ma. Khatiyawadi, Surti, Ahmedabadi. It is not Ahmedabad, Ahmedabadi. Tamil Nadu. Do you have such differences? North, South and... This is just geographical positions. I have not even come into the caste system and Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Within Brahmana again there are... Within Kshatriya again there are so many. I was in Goa and I was amused what I saw. They were all Christians. And there are lots of churches there. And within the churches, they have Brahmin church, Kshatriya church, Vaishya church, and a Shudra church. And I said, what the heck is this? So the history says that these evangelists who were converting, double roti, the bun, they would throw it into the well, common well, wherein they draw water, and they said, now your dharma is bhrashta. That you have eaten, consumed something which you consider as, spoiling your thing. Therefore, now you are Christian by force. So, even though they have become Christians, they will not marry beyond. Even in that, they have carried forward their caste system. It was very amusing to watch it. It has its own pain and thing, but the way it has transformed, fragmentation. Now you go into some kind of weird corner. I tell you, Indians have spread far and wide. I had a different example, but it was not Sattvic example, so I had to choose something else. We have just spread far and wide. So I was in some boondocks, like, you know, I was traveling from Beaumont to Dallas, going through a small little tiny town. So I saw this board, Mark Gollapudi. Gollapudi is like such an Indian name. And I, coming from Andhra Pradesh, I recognized very well it is Telugu. So I had to stop there for, you know, filling up gas. So I just knocked into that doctor's office and there's not much of a rush. So I said, Mark Gollapudi, as inquisitive more than anything else. His name is Markandeyalu Gollapudi. So he has, Deyalu has been cut and he is now being called as Mark Gollapudi. So, okay, fine. So in the entire town, there is one Indian. Usually, you know, we are very picky about, you know, appointments, and he was more than glad to see another brown. I'm so happy to see another Indian. This is the first comment that came out of him. Not far away from Houston, or 3 hours, 3.5 hours, but right there. And there was no comment about, are you South Indian, North Indian? You look Indian. Have you watched Star Trek and such things wherein people from different galaxies come? And probably at that time, what are we looking for? Are you from planet Earth? Me too. So white, black, brown, yellow, green, all the skin colors, geography, everything goes away. All that which you look forward is, are you human? Now, my question, do you need to go that far to see oneness? Sarvatmakatvam drishya vilayaha. Drishya vilayaha, I have already explained. Unfragmentation. And that one is seen. That is the true unfoldment of personality, or the true unfoldment of the experience, which is the true gandha or decoration of that Paramatma. Sarvatmakatvam drishya vilayaha gandhaha. Now akshata. Akshata, they often, usually what we do in our daily puja is, akshata is often used as pratyamnaya. That it is the substitute for anything and everything. Pushpam samarpayami, pushparthyakshatani samarpayami, kumkumum samarpayami, kumkumarthyakshatani samarpayami, naivedyam samarpayami, naivedyarthyakshatani samarpayami. I'm just making it up, okay? Exaggerating it to the extent possible. So, akshata is usually used as pratyamnaya, like a substitute for everything. Kshata means that which is broken. Akshata, that which is unbroken. So technically, even the way you make akshata, there's a process to the madness. Many of us, what do? We add, sprinkle little water, add little haldi, And I say, we have made akshata. But rice, the moment you add water, as it starts drying up, it starts breaking. The moment the rice breaks, what you have made is yellow kshata, not yellow akshata. So how do you make akshata? And that has to be taught these days. Add a drop of ghee. Even in the lipids, the most pavitra is ghee. Of the various kinds of ghees that can be procured, the Sreshtatama, the purest is the cow ghee. Add one drop of it into a bowl full of rice. And then add a pinch of turmeric and then mix it. That way, it stays for a long period as akshata, not kshata. Okay, now the technicality is done. Now what is the akshata offered? The akshata offered is drug vishishtatmanaha akshataha. What does drug vishishtatmanaha akshataha mean? The ability to be in movement, to be in different kinds of interactions, yet not be moved, unmoved from within, to find that platform of equipoise which is not broken. Otherwise, we are looking forward for that moment in the day wherein we sit for our puja or dhyana. Later, rest of the time, I don't want to get in there. This world and worldliness. There is nothing called worldliness. It becomes worldliness only if you allow the fragmentation to enter into your heart. Have you seen Nataraja Murti? Such a beautifully, if you see the origins of that Nataraja Murti, have you, after taking shower or something, have you shaken your head with the hair? You shake your head this side, the hair goes this side. And you shake your head this side, the hair goes this side. In that Nataraja Vigraha, you will find that the head is in the middle and the hair is all over. So, the Tandava has got its own Tika Bhashya. So, one of the commentators says that he is moving his head in such rapidity that the hair is fallen behind to move along with the head. Therefore, the hair seems to be all over the place. And while he is dancing, he has lifted one foot up because the mukuta has slipped, and with his leg, he has pulled it back into position while dancing. To find that balance in movement. And not once in a while. Akshata, unbroken throughout. Meaning, I am responsible for every moment of experience that I go through, but I should go through consciously, unbroken, being bogged down or pulled down by the experience. I usually give this example to teenagers because they are into surfing and boarding and things like that. In the Californian vocabulary, there is something called catching a wave and caught by a wave. This is a surfer's language. Now, what do they mean by catching a wave or caught by a wave? So they paddle and go all the way inside, wait for the right wave, and then they attempt to ride that wave. And what is the attempt? To not be knocked off by the wave as you're riding it. And as you're riding it, you need to maintain the balance, the curve and the speed and various things that the, it is not in your hand, it is the wave that controls it. But in spite of that, you try to maintain that balance. And the heights of it is when that water or the wave mass rolls over you in forming a tunnel kind of an effect and you ride through it. So you have caught the wave efficiently. And many surfers, what do they do? While attempting it, suddenly the water mass collapses. If you are a little slow, what happens? The water mass collapses behind you. Instead of collapsing behind you, it collapses on you. And it's like tons of water falling, collapsing on you. What will happen? It will pull you down. So either you are catching the wave or you are caught by the wave. Every interaction of life is like a wave. Drug Vishishtatmanaha. To be a witness of everything that is happening, not while you are in a seclusion of meditation, but while you are an extension of day-to-day activity. Meaning, every moment I am being so conscious that not a moment passes by unconsciously. Guilt is in the realm of those who live unconscious life. Those who are living consciously, they live guilt-free. I'm not saying that they may not commit mistakes. Even if they commit mistakes, they have enough humility to accept that, change it and grow. But there is no scope for guilt. Oops, I shouldn't have done this. Okay, this has happened. How do I make sure that this doesn't repeat itself? So, conscious lifestyle, wherein every moment, every interaction passes by consciously. And here we are. Tell me if this has been an experience to you sometimes at least. That whatever it was an intense moment of interaction in your office or wherever, it has been consuming so much inside that you have been thinking only about that. You come into garage, you get into your car, and evening traffic time, rush hour, you come home and you try to open the garage and you are pressing the garage door opener. That is when you realize, you look around. How in heaven did I reach here? Because I remember the office. I remember getting into the car. Usually I remember what happened in between, what kind of traffic, you know. Nothing I recollect. Purely out of reflexes, you just came by. Has it happened as an experience? So what was that experience? Unconscious experience. And that is vivid. Therefore I took that example. Scary. There are so many things that we go through. Yesterday night I said that food has to be like aushadha. But even that aushadha, consume it consciously. Every experience has to be done consciously. No moment moves by the conscious being unconsciously. That is the meaning of Tandava. That everything is moving, but centered in that consciousness. That is called Drug Vishishtatmana. That I am the conscious witness of everything that moves. I am that consciousness which is the basis or the substratum for that movement to happen. That which is happening because of my presence, how can that overtake my presence and bog me down, pull me down to a worthless piece of matter? A very powerful thought. Drug Vishishtatmanaha Akshataha. So, unbroken conscious experience of everything that happens. Now, presently we have only control on 1/3 of our time. I'm not talking as time as in 24 hours. We go through 3 different layers: Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. Gain the mastery over Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti also will be taken care of. Because there have been masters who have, I don't have an experience of it, I have only heard, so it is a hearsay. I have heard of masters wherein, even in their Swapna and in their sleep, it happens as a conscious effort. That they are conscious of their sleep, they are conscious of their dream. In other words, you may have heard of great Mahatmas like Sadashiva, Brahmendra, Saraswati and others, that even in their sleep, that there would be a resonance of the chanting that they were doing all around them. Another way of telling the same thing, that the experience of Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti happens consciously. Or even Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. First, let's focus on Jagrat. What can be done is not done. We are already aiming for something which is so far away. So, Drug Vishishtatmanaha Akshataha. That unbroken conscious being which allows every movement to happen inside and outside. Because all that which is moving is nothing but matter. That which is not moving and being conscious of is consciousness, is the spirit behind. Where are you? Are you moving? That is an illusion. Because you are consciousness and you cannot be moving. How step by step, how to unfragment yourself is said in the earlier mantra. Now that you have come to that platform, how do you see the movement? Not from the scared existence. That, you know, I have to go Monday, I have to again get back into the movement, I don't like it. Again I have to get into the response, I don't like it. That every moment is such a beautiful moment that you are neither resisting it or craving for it. As it happens, you bask in the glory of its unfoldment. Drug Vishishtatmanaha Akshataha. And as the akshata is the part of the decoration is done, so that the one who is decorating, the one who is offering, the seeker, the devotee, his eyes, mind and everything is focused on that Lord and nothing else. After that is the Pushpa. With the Pushpa, we do the 108 names, 1000 names, the Sahasrarchana, Ashtottara Shatanamavali. Your friend has come. 10-15 years you have not. And somewhere on the Facebook or Twitter or somewhere, it just, you found, and what is strange is that your friend is visiting the very place where you are living and you just got connected. As if, you know, it was meant to be. They said, if you are coming here, you should definitely come and stay with. So the friend has come and, you know, you have food and everything. And then the name and the things that you have already introduced, this is my friend and, you know, this is where he is living. But then, leisurely when you sit, and you start talking nostalgically about that friend to the entire family. This fellow is all sober and looking very gambhir right now. He's a very composed person, but when we were studying, and then you start narrating stories, right? Leela. And because he was doing like this, he was called in those days like this. Because he's doing within those days. Though that person is one, there is so many leelas and so many attributes. All those attributes are explained as an introduction, right? Similarly, the 108 names or 1000 names are introduction of that Lord and his glories and his leela to our own mind. So when you are doing that Ashtottara Namavali, don't rush through it. What exactly are you accomplishing? Pause. Have you seen the Archana Vidhi? You hear Om and Namaha in between, what is happening? Om Ajaya Namaha. This is Gurudev's Ashtottara Namavali. Om Avyayaya Namaha. Om Avinashine Namaha. Om Achintyaya Namaha. Om Aprameyaya Namaha. So when you start, Ajaya Namaha. What should come in your mind? The meaning behind Ajaya Namaha. That which is eternal, is never born, never dies. That supreme is my Guru Tattva. To him, my offering. Where do you have to go? Then instead of doing a upasana, it becomes a chore. And who does this kind of chores? Kaam chore. That's why it's called chore. Kaam chore is somebody who is not conscious of what they have to do. They are trying to run away from there. So Pushpa is offered with each name. Pushpa is the best of the nature. Similarly, and it is endowed with Sugandha. Sugandha Sumalaya Samire. It comes in Pavana Yamunatire. Gayati Vanamali. So you know, the Pushpa is the best of the nature and it comes with Sugandha. So what is the meaning there? That what am I offering? That I have transformed Durgandha, the Vasanas, into Sugandha, Samskara. And that Samskara I am offering finally at your feet to transcend both. To wash the cloth, you need soap. Having applied the soap, what do you do afterwards? Do you dry it and wear it like that? No. You rinse that soap as well. Soap is samskara. It is cleaning. And I love the word samskara. Why? It removes some scar. Scar from within. Therefore, samskara. So, as it removes, what is left is something which is vikarahina, samskarahina eva. Both samskara and vikara are to be discarded. Similarly, I have transformed, O Lord, Durgandha, the vasanas, into Sugandha, samskaravan. That samskara I am offering to you. Let me transcend this bhava, which is in between samskara and vikara. Therefore, the spiritual goal is not to be good, but to transcend both goodness and badness, to be divine. So we'll see further tomorrow. Five more steps are there. This I am confident we will finish. Rama Gita. Let's see. Definitely the karma samuchyavada will be completed. But the tattvamasi mahavakya and its vishleshana, we'll do it later. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.